Hello and welcome to the Guelph Politicast. I'm Adam A. Donaldson of Guelph Politico. Today I talked to Deborah DeAngelis, the Ontario Regional Director of the United Food and Commercial Workers Union. If you've visited an essential grocery store in the last 3 weeks, then you have probably talked to someone represented by the UFCW, and for the last few weeks their usual advocacy has taken on a new edge as the workers they represent are almost single-handedly holding up the economy. If that pressure wasn't enough, these workers are also in the proverbial line of fire. And in Guelph here, we've seen two employees from two different grocery stores get diagnosed with COVID-19. So much rests now on the heads of our grocery clerks, our food processors, and our restaurant workers, but are they getting the support they need? Watching out for the essential workers is the topic of this week's Guelph Politicast. What a difference a pandemic makes, huh? For years now, there's been this grand debate about whether service industry workers deserve a living wage, whether or not they should be able to access employer benefits, and if we need to change our assumptions about the quality of work provided by these mostly minimum wage employees at our retailers, our grocery stores, and our restaurants. For years, we've seen these jobs as lesser work. You probably heard from your parents that being lazy at school meant a lifetime of stocking the shelves at Food Basics or being behind the counter of a Tim Hortons, and in terms of your employment prospects, it was a fate worse than death. For now, in another example of cosmic irony, these are the people we've been looking to keep our society afloat. In fact, local Walmart and Zehrs stores are practically begging people to come and work for them on a temporary basis so that they can cope with the high demand, and these famously stingy outlets are now paying a premium for labor, with higher wages, more safety, and even in a few cases, childcare. It's quite the turnaround from the outrage when the previous Ontario government increased the minimum wage to $15, a move that was later undone by the current government, who also made it mandatory again to get a sick note from your doctor when workers needed a day off due to illness. Now the question is, will all this forward momentum for the service industry last beyond the pandemic? That's one of the many questions I will ask of Deborah DeAngelis on this week's Guelph Politicast. We also talk about how she's been working with employers and the different levels of government to make sure that workers are protected in these extraordinary circumstances. And she also talks about how she's dealing with the concerns of workers as they're being asked to carry on more or less like normal. We also talk about the on-the-job changes that employees are facing, whether or not employers have risen to the challenge, and her concern for the workers now that there's a growing number of cases of store employees coming down with COVID-19. And finally, we will hear DeAngelis' most important message to both workers and employers in these difficult and unprecedented times. So I caught up with Deborah DeAngelis via Skype earlier this week. So Deborah DeAngelis, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
I guess to start with, for people who may not be terribly aware of the United Food and Commercial Workers Union, can you just describe the union in terms of its scope and who all it covers?
Absolutely. So UFCW Canada represents 1.3 million workers across North America, specifically 250,000 right here in Canada. And our members work in food retail, processing, transportation, healthcare, logistics, warehousing, hospitality, security, and other professional sectors. So essentially, our members are your neighbors. They work in your grocery stores, hotels, your rental agencies, nursing homes, restaurants. They process the food you eat. They collect the food as agricultural workers as well. So our members are your neighbors. We're all around you, whether you know it or not.
I want to start with maybe some more, well, I'll call it breaking news, although it was yesterday. Here in Guelph, anyway, there was a case of a Longo's worker at the Longo's here in Guelph who was diagnosed with COVID-19, or their test finally came back. They've probably had COVID-19 for a while. But the store had to close. They had to do a thorough cleaning. They had to make an accounting of who all this worker came into contact with while they were working, presumably with COVID-19.
and this isn't the first time this has happened. I know there was another case, another Longos and Vaughn, but hearing these stories, are you more worried now, or like, is this? Are you worried like maybe this is the tip of the iceberg, and you're going to be hearing these stories from, you know, people who work in your sector for the next couple of weeks?
So are we going to continue to see cases? Unfortunately, I think we are. You know, UFCW has been advocating on behalf of its members. And so members in unionized stores have the ability to call in sick without fear of being reprimanded. And so that is the most important thing here. You know, we had legislation back with Bill 148, so it feels like ages ago, where workers had sick days that they could take and they were paid. So workers didn't have to make a choice of going to work sick with fear of not being paid. So they didn't have to make that choice. And now that choice is, workers have to make that choice because unfortunately those paid days are no longer there. And so workers have to choose whether they're going to eat or whether they go to work sick. And unfortunately, that is where I think what's happening around us, that's where the biggest impact is going
to
be.
It's interesting to watch what's happened with people who work in our grocery stores and our restaurants, in food production. These are typically the jobs, and, you know, it's been an axiom for way too long that, you know, parents tell their kids, you don't want to end up working at McDonald's or you don't want to end up working at, you know, the grocery store stocking the shelves. But, you know, we've had an interesting reversal now. We are uniquely dependent on these people, not just in a sense to keep us alive in terms of selling us the things we need, but also to keep the economy alive.
You got it. What a difference. We're actually having conversations now and calling grocery store workers and the workers that help produce our food as frontline workers. And they are. And all of these workers who are making these sacrifices today, because without food being processed, without food arriving at your supermarkets, without somebody bringing that in, we would essentially cease to exist. So without our healthcare system, without our healthcare workers, you know, we would be in a really, really bad situation. And so there has been that shift, and I'm happy to see that, because these are the workers who for too long were always said, well, you don't deserve a wage increase, right? Mm-hmm. You don't do anything that's skilled.
Mm-hmm.
And this is also a very gendered workforce, right? So lots of women working in healthcare, in grocery stores, in food production. And so it's a very gendered conversation where finally these workers, the society is seeing value in the work that they do.
I wonder then, and this is kind of the opposite end of this, and I've had these conversations with the co-host I do for another show, but at the end of this, generally when workers make strides, when workers get new benefits or see pay increases, they don't generally get taken back. And I realize it's a bit, you know, politically obscene to sort of think ahead to how the crisis might advantage workers. But, you know, can we go back after this? Can we, you know, for the Loblaws employees who got a pay increase in the midst of, you know, still serving the public in the pandemic, can Loblaws just take that back after the pandemic has passed? And you know what, can workers in these industries keep up that momentum?
You know, that is a great question, Adam. And I've had some time to think about it over these past couple of days, because I think we've shifted from a winner takes all in a dog eat dog world to a world where we're actually looking and valuing work a lot differently. And I think that's a good shift.
Mm-hmm.
Out of something very bad, I think something good is happening. And so, you know, in the past, we've demanded governments to be run like businesses and businesses that are showing profits. And I think now the shift has been to more towards making sure that we have a more equal society where healthcare is provided to everybody and good healthcare. And so we're seeing a shift in that as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so hopefully the shift that we're seeing will be a shift where the most underpaid jobs are taken most seriously, right? The food workers, the delivery drivers, the supermarket employees, cooks, warehouse workers, truck drivers, healthcare workers, security guards, all of those jobs are taken more seriously. Because when as a society we start valuing them a lot more, that will be easier. That is the leverage that we need when we're talking to employers.
Well, looking at the sort of the immediate concerns, the people you're representing right now, are they feeling not I want to say safe and secure, but you know, there's really kind of no sense of security in the midst of a pandemic, but as they're going to work, as they're doing their jobs, are they feeling that the employers are genuinely invested in looking out for their health care, or are they concerned that it's more lip service?
So I'm going to answer that in two questions. In two answers. So the first, we advocate on behalf of our members. And so that, you know, as the largest union with Loblaws, we were able to advocate for that $2 an hour wage increase. And then we started seeing all the other supermarket employers start following suit. So let's not kid ourselves that when we advocated for a $2 an hour wage increase and the plexiglass and the social distancing, employers didn't do that out of the goodness of their heart. Employers did that because, you know, there was a very strong advocate advocating on behalf of the workers, relaying what the workers were feeling to the employers. And I think that's how it happened so quickly. And of course, the employers realized that this was serious and sort of made those changes quickly. On the other hand, I do receive calls. I'm a frontline worker who receives calls every single day from workers working in non-unionized workplaces. And the fear that is happening out there without an advocate, right? The choices that are being given to workers right now, when workers have health concerns or are raising issues of why they don't have masks to their employer, or only given one mask, and if you throw it in the garbage, go dish it out and put it back on. There's a real fear out there. And so even though unionized employees have this advocate, yes, there's still a fear, but they have an advocate advocating on their behalf and making sure that there is no reprisals happening. On the other hand, we have workers that are fearing for their health and safety, are fearing that they will lose their job if they bring this issue forward. I've been told by workers who have indicated, hey, I have an elderly parent at home. I feel that I should go home. I should self-isolate. Have been told, why don't you just go home and permanently self-isolate?
Right.
It really is worlds happening right now.
Right. And that's the kind of thing that obviously generates bad press too. That, you know, you don't want to be the business that is, you know, threatening to fire people in the middle of a pandemic. And especially when people are concerned about their own health and safety and maybe spreading it around to vulnerable family members. So, I guess this is a unique situation because, you know, these kind of things do happen all the time. There are unsafe workplaces in the best of times. So, how do you advise those people who come to you with concerns and who come to you, you know, saying, like, I am really worried about this, but I am blocked. I can act, I can speak out, or I can lose my job. And that, yeah, it's a tough prospect in you know, this situation.
I can hear you. I hear you. And it really is a tough situation. And in the end, workers are having to choose whether they take an income or not. And that's the worst part. That's the worst part. Those vulnerable workers at the end of the day are having to make decisions based on whether they can eat tomorrow. And that's so heartbreaking in this whole situation, that they have to go to work, because if they don't, they won't be able to eat tomorrow. And I think that, you know, we need to make sure that those stories are coming forward as well, because there are still, as they were before, there are still employers that until somebody, you know, forces them to be accountable, will do whatever it is they need to do to make that bottom buck.
Right. Shame can be a great motivator. But at the same time, just generally, do you think people have the freedom to, I mean, depending on the employer, depending on their circumstance, you know, we have one message coming from the government that says, if you have to stay home, stay home, limit exposure, you know, do what you can to self-isolate, you know, there are all these conditions. But what about the other end? Is, you know, do you think that employers are, you know, following that advice wholeheartedly, and our workers may be caught in the middle between following the best advice of from the, you know, authorities and the government, and, you know, or do they feel empowered, I guess, to be able to tell their employer that, you know, the government is telling me this, and I do have a right to say, you know, now is not an appropriate time for me to be working.
So, you know, I do want to say workers do have the power. You know, when you turn around, there's a lot more of us than the billionaires around. So you do have the power. And, you know, if the situation at work is so bad now, you know, maybe it is time to reach out to a union and say, hey, what ideas do you have? How can I get an advocate at work to speak on my behalf? Because sometimes that's what needs to happen is a voice at work, so that you can have some dignity and respect at work, so that you can make those choices. Not all workers will be able, because they're essential workers, or you know, will be able to work from home. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But in the industries, if you're working right now and you're like, wow, my employer was bad before, but now it's like terrible, give a union a call, find out if it makes sense to have an advocating on your behalf.
So the UFCW has been looking at, you know, getting people better safety, better pay. There's been a lot that's happened in the last few weeks. So can you talk a bit about what you've been advocating for, what successes, I guess, have come out of that advocacy, and what you're kind of currently working on to get some further assurances to protect workers?
Awesome. So yeah. So, you know, we started advocating on behalf of Loblaws employees. Loblaws is, an employer where many, many members are UFCW members. Actually, 90,000 Loblaws employees are members of UFCW Canada. And so we started advocating. And so initially, it resulted in a two-hour wage increase for frontline employees right across this country. So that was fantastic. That was followed by advocacy, and that was followed by Metro, Food Basics, Sobeys, Safeway, and IGA. Again, banners across Canada. You know, as well, plexiglass dividers at checkouts and service counters. This is really, really important. This is about, you know, making sure that the worker feels safe going to work. So that's in the works right now. So those are the grocery store workers as well. UFCW Canada represents a lot of food processing workers. And so because of the advocacy, Ollie Mill, Cargill, Maple Leaf Foods, all secured premium pay increases and more safety protections for all of the frontline workers at the companies. Again, that's because of advocacy and to ensure that workers feel safe going to work. You know, so those are just some of the initial conversations. We are talking with employers every single day. Right. And so we are really advocating on behalf of, you know, making sure that there is an increased social distancing in the plants and in the facilities, you know, prohibiting visitors, boosting sanitation measures, you know, even changes in the break and lunchtime schedules so that there's less workers in a space at the same time. So, you know, these are all things we're advocating on behalf of UFCW Canada members. But you know what? On behalf of all workers, I think we need to start talking about bringing back paid sick days. We need to start talking about making sure that workers aren't afraid to go to work, aren't afraid to be reprimanded if they call in sick, making sure that we just focus on a more healthy society.
Yeah, and it's changing how we work too, because I know there are some businesses that are sort of limiting, you know, who or how long people are exposed to the general public. I'm thinking specifically of cashiers, and yeah, there are some places that are installing the plexiglass or are on the list to waiting for installing a plexiglass, because I imagine those contractors are pretty busy these days too. But you know, it used to not be an unusual thing, and I have experience doing this too as someone who's worked retail. But you know, to be the one cashier who's, you know, the main cashier all day for like a 5, 6, 7 hour shift. Now you're seeing cashiers being rotated out like every half hour or however, you know, long. You know, it's a matter of, I guess, being a bit more, I guess, loose with, you know, what the roles of employees are as well.
I hear you. Yeah, I hear you. I mean, even the delivery workers, you know, being able to leave the deliveries without making contact with their customer, that is something that came out from the pandemic, which I think is a great idea as well, right?
Yeah, and my sister actually is an assistant manager at the Waterloo Walmart, and one of her drivers was instructed to, he had to make a delivery to New York City, which is, of course, the epicenter of the American outbreak. And he was instructed to not leave his truck. He was instructed to pull up to the delivery zone, let them open the doors, empty the truck, and let them close the door and then leave again.
So again, a lot of good things are happening out of a bad situation, but I think it's because we're starting to have this realization about the important work that these workers do that otherwise was never deemed valuable. And now we are looking, having a second look at these jobs and saying, yeah, these are really important jobs, and their health and safety needs to be taken into account.
No, and I would absolutely agree. So we've talked about working for the workers, working the employers. The other big portion of this is the government, and I know that as a union, you also coordinate with the government in terms of response to any workers' issues, the pandemic included. So, how are you feeling about how the government's responded to the pandemic in terms of protecting workers? And I mean, we could split this between the Ontario government and the federal government, but I mean, you are the Ontario director, so I imagine your experience is predominantly with the Ontario government.
Yes. So, you know, I mean, I'm just going to look a little bit outside of Canada first and say, thank God that we have such a great government, because we're looking pretty amazing if you sort of look at the whole entire picture of the whole entire world. I think the governments have really taken it seriously. And I think the governments are, the federal government is, you know, making sure that, you know, we're paying attention to what's going on and making the necessary changes. And I think they're taking this very, very seriously, which, you know, I think is really, really important. And it's important for the workers as well. So they have as well, Doug Ford's position last week of employers that are gouging, you know, $16.99 or $30 right. Lysol wipes or whatever. And so that's important. It's important for governments to stand up and let employers know that is not acceptable behavior during a pandemic. I think everybody is behaving as good as is necessary, I think, at this point.
Yeah. At the same time, though, I'm sure there's Are you concerned about maybe any lack of response from the government in any particular area you know, maybe they haven't taken to it into account yet, something that you would like to advocate for?
Well, let's start with the most vulnerable. And so, you know, of course, when pandemics like this happen, everybody always worries about how, you know, and all these workers, like we're talking about 1 in 5 right now, 1 in 3 losing their jobs. And so when you start thinking about all this layoffs and how this is going to impact people in regards to being able to buy food or pay for their rent, you know, I think what is missing is maybe a conversation about making sure that people can't be evicted during this terrible time because mm-hmm. they've missed their payment. And so I think that's necessary because, again, we're talking about the society's most vulnerable people, right? Being laid off and not being able to make their payments for their rent. I would want to make sure that we will live in a society where these people are pardoned, at least during the time that the pandemic is happening. And I think that has to come from the government. I think that, Doug Ford needs to guarantee in law that no one is going to be evicted for any reason during the COVID-19, because there will be, unscrupulous people who will try to kick people out and then jack up the rent. I'm more worried about the people who are going to end up on the streets.
For sure. And that is a huge gap. And I did note that all the opposition party leaders were sort of united in that being the piece of the response that was missing after the update last week.
Yeah.
I guess one of the other things I'm thinking about, too, is, you've been, I don't want to read your mind, but in talking to you, you have been fairly praiseful, shall we say, of the government response. And I know that the Ontario government in particular has not been seen as particularly worker friendly. Has this changed the game? I mean, we don't want to eliminate our skepticism completely about the government and what might be going on behind the scenes, but in terms of that relationship, is there a bit more appreciation now, do you think, for the plight of the workers you represent in terms of what they deal with, at least from the government side? Because they did roll back those regs about sick notes and sick pay and sick days and all that, and Did they learn the hard lesson here?
I'm glad you brought that up, because, it took years in consultations with the Liberal government to bring the sick days and the sick notes into law. And with one pen stroke, it was gone. Mm. And even though there was a lot of sort of conversations and the general public, everybody agreed with it, it was rolled back. And then it took basically a pandemic and a day for all of this to be rolled away again. And so, it really comes to the point of when there's a will, there's a way. And I think with the three parties working together, I mean, we would have never gotten where we are right now if there wasn't an actual, NDP opposition at Queen's Park. And so really it is putting forward great ideas, making sure that the workers' voice is heard at Queen's Park, and it's the right thing to do. And so that's where we're seeing these good pieces of legislation happening. And hopefully, I'm an optimist. And so hopefully we won't see these changes rolled back as soon as people forget. But I think that as a society, I think we've realized that it's really important to make sure that our most vulnerable and our frontline workers are protected during these times and every time.
Do you think that it's changed your job as someone who's, an advocate for workers and always looking to, represent more workers? Do you think that at the end of this, your job has changed and that maybe, I don't want to say it's, I'd hate to say that a global pandemic is going to make your job easier, because that sounds so obscene, but, does it is it going to make advocacy for workers going forward that, having lived through the crisis and having that greater appreciation, does that create a more universal understanding in terms of what workers, like the ones you represent, face on a daily basis?
I hope so. But is my job going to be less of a job, or is there going to be less work because everybody is going? I've been doing this for a while. I started off when I was 19 years old. I've lived under various governments. I've seen the sort of ebbs and flows, and I'm an optimist. And so I hope that society has, because society perception and the way that we value work and look at work really is at the key of advocacy. It really is at the sort of the heart of how much work we have to put into making sure that our most vulnerable in society are protected. And so will that change? Well, I hope I will have to do less. I hope that society will realize that, but we'll keep on doing the work that we do. I mean, we really haven't had a conversation about the gendered ramifications of what COVID-19 is doing to our society. And so we will get to that place. And when we do, I think that's going to be another very interesting question, another very interesting conversation that we need to have about, you know, how COVID-19, in particularly really impacts women and racialized workers in our society.
Absolutely. Maybe to wrap up, we've been talking for almost 30 minutes, but if there's like one message that you have on behalf of the UFCW that you, and I'm going to ask you to split it into two groups. Like if there's a message that you want workers to hear and a message you want employers to hear, what are those messages?
So for workers, let me start off by saying, if you are working at a workplace right now and your employer is not listening to your serious concerns, you need an advocate advocating on your behalf. So call UFCW. We'll be more than happy to walk you through what the options are and how we can make sure that you have a voice at work. For our members, this is a very, very difficult time for everybody. And so I know that our members are scared. I know that our members who, the majority are women, are also taking care of the bulk of the family work. And so this is putting additional stress on their lives and their mental health. And so I just want to let you know that UFCW is here to advocate on your behalf to make sure that you have somebody to call in the event that you need additional support at work. For employers, I hope that the dog eats dog and the winner takes all society is done. And if it is, be aware that workers now more than ever will make sure that they will, if they don't have a voice at work, they will get a voice at work, and that there will be accountability in the workplace. So
Deborah DeAngelis, as a past retail employee myself, and perhaps a future retail employee, who knows which way the wind will blow, thank you for your advocacy, and thanks for taking time to talk to me for the podcast today.
Thank you so much for having me. Such a great discussion.
And once again, that was Deborah DeAngelis of the United Food and Commercial Workers Union. You can visit their website at ufcw.ca to learn more about their advocacy and to find resources about your rights as a worker if your workplace should happen to be deemed essential. And remember, too, that you have the right to feel safe and secure at work, and if you have a complaint that you can't resolve with your employer and you aren't represented by a union, you can always talk to the Ministry of Labor either online or by calling the Health and Safety Contact Center at 1-877-202-0008. And that is it for this edition of the Guelph Politicast. The music for the Guelph Politicast comes from KPM Classics and Sid Dale. The Guelph Politicast is usually recorded at CFRU at the University Center on the University of Guelph campus. And to learn more about CFRU, you can go to cfru.ca. You can download the Guelph Politicast on Wednesday from iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spotify. You can download it from the host at Podbean at guelphpoliticast.podbean.com. And when you subscribe to the Guelph Politicast channel, you'll get an episode of Open Sources Guelph on Mondays and an episode of End Credits on Fridays. Get in touch with me by email at adamadonaldson@gmail.com. Reach me through Twitter at adamadonaldson or at Guelph Politico. There is also the Guelph Politico Facebook page, which you can find at facebook.com/politicoguelph. And if you'd like to help build a locally sourced independent media outlet in the city of Guelph, even during these uncertain times, please consider donating to Guelph Politico. And you can find out how at guelphpolitico.ca/donate. And for all the latest local political news, check out guelphpolitico.ca, where there will be a new episode of the Guelph Politicast for you next week. And until then, see you next time.